It's March 19th, and we are in the second parak of Maseches Sharim. So this is Bever Midas HaZihirus, explaining what Zihirus is. This is the first of the Midas that the Ramchal wants to discuss. So Ramchal explains that Zihirus is that a person should be careful in what they do, meaning a person should think about what they do. A person should not just go about life without thinking. A person should be thinking about being misbonein, which means to reflect about how they behave. Now, he's not discussing a person who is doing averos all the time. He's discussing a person who is generally doing the right thing, certainly trying to do the right thing, but if a person does not give time over to hisboninus, to thinking about what they're doing, then they are not a zohir. Zohir means to be careful. A zohir is a person who thinks about what they're doing. The Ramchal compares someone who is not zohir to someone who is walking along a riverbank where there's not a little creek, but there's really a river, and they could easily fall in the water. They're on the edge. And the person, instead of watching where they're going, covers their eyes. So we would all say it's a very foolish thing to do. A person's walking on the edge of a place they could fall over and hurt themselves. So to cover their eyes is foolish. So someone who does not do hisboninus is at risk of falling over the edge. Ramchal also points out that this is worse than animals, because animals instinctively will run away from things that are dangerous. They'll naturally run away. And animals instinctively notice those things that are dangerous and they run away. So if we don't do hisboninus, we don't think about what we're doing, then it is then we're actually less careful than the instinct of an animal, which is the instinct of the animals to be careful. So what's important to realize is that the Ramchal is pointing out that Hashem created a person in a way that our instincts are less sensitive than an animal. An animal is given by Hashem certain instincts to protect it from danger. We were not given those instincts, meaning that it's not that it's very complicated. A person only needs to think about what they're doing, and then they will realize what's dangerous or what could go wrong. But because it's not instinctive, it does require thought. It does require reflection. It requires attention. So of course, if we pay attention, we actually can be safer than an animal can be. We're better at that. Our brains are far more capable of understanding things than an animal is, and therefore we can protect ourselves better than an animal can. But because it requires thought, if we don't think, then we're actually worse off than an animal. So it's a fascinating thing that Hashem created a human being with superior intellect, but He expects us to use it. If we don't use it, then we're actually in a more desperate situation than an animal. And we can easily fall off the edge into danger. Now, this process of hisboninus means to think about what we're doing. A person can be generally a good person, generally a frum person, who is a Yarei Shamayim and is doing what they're supposed to be doing. But if they're not thinking, then we just go about life all day long, and we just go from one thing to the next, 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 and we just do. And when a person does that, they're not being misboning. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be doing horrific averus all of a sudden, but it does mean that they can be doing things which are really not best for them, which could lead to worse things. And he'll discuss those in future prakim. But the hisboninus, to think things through, is the way to avoid that. So the Ramchal, this is a famous mashal of the Ramchal, mentions Paro as the primary example of the lack of hisponinus. As the Ramchal writes, that Paro's whole approach was tichbad ha'avoda al hanashim v'yasuva. Let the work become heavy on the people, so they will not think about going to be zoveach to Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu came with Aaron and asked Paro for Klal Yisrael to go and bring karbanos to Hashem, Paro's response was to take away the tevin, to take away the straw. So that way it would be even harder for Klal Yisrael, so no one would have time to think. They would just work, for fear of getting beaten. They'd have to work very, very hard. And as a result, there's no time to think. This was Paro's strategy. The strategy was a good one, meaning it wasn't good for us, but it was an effective strategy. It did what he wanted it to do. When people are so busy that they can't think, then they cannot be involved in anything but what they're doing. And that was his strategy. And the Eitzah of the Yetzer Hara is to do the same thing. The Atzas of the Yetzer is to make a person so busy that they have no time to think. And we do this all the time. People who are productive people are very busy people. A busy person is generally a good sign. It means a person is productive, a person is working, a person is producing, a person is active. That's all very good. However, by doing that, we lose our ability to be misbonin. The Yetzer Hara does this in a crafty way, because the Yetzer Hara makes us busy with good things. We're doing good things. We're working hard. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're working for our families. We are working for ourselves. We're busy with chasadim. We're busy with friends. We're busy with Shabbos. We're busy with Pesach. We're busy with all the things these are all good things to be busy with. But the fact of the matter is, if we're always busy, then we're not being misbonin. And that's an atzas hayetzer. And therefore, a person needs to take time to pull back and think about what they're doing, to reflect about what they're doing. You find that when people are very, very busy, they become overwhelmed when anything new comes up. They can't hear about new things, about creative ideas, about new approaches. Because a person is so busy and feels so pressured to meet deadlines, the deadlines are either real or they're self-imposed. But the person becomes so focused on that they're not able to handle hearing new ideas, other ideas, new ways of doing things, just being able to hear anything. And it becomes almost a pressure that if someone says something to them that throws them off their routine, they can't handle it because they're so busy. Now, sometimes things happen that force a person out of their routine. For example, a person is very busy and just their lives are very scheduled and are moving very quickly and trying to get things done. And they're on the way to whatever their next appointment is, and they get a flat tire. Now that flat tire ruins their plans. A flat tire always makes a person change their plans. When does anybody ever get a flat tire? Not if they change their plans, right? So is a flat tire a terrible thing? It's not a terrible thing. It's not even an expensive thing most of the time. Most of the time it's fixed very quick, very inexpensively. But it's a big tircha. The flat tire has to be dealt with. It's at least a waste of time. At least. And it could be schlepping here, schlepping there, finally getting it fixed. It takes time. So when that happens, a person is forced to rearrange their schedule. And you know what? They do. They rearrange their schedule. Meaning that this schedule, which was rigid and immovable, and it had to be this way, when they get a flat tire, well, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. So it happens. So what I'm pointing out to you is that even the person who is very, very overscheduled and very, very busy, etc., lemaisa, if something happens, not a horrific thing, a small thing, They change their schedule. That's what happens. They have to. We do have the ability to change our schedules, even if we feel we can't. We feel like we're, you know, this is the way we're stuck with this schedule. It's not true. There's always room to change the schedule. That we're not HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can predict our schedule so well. On Friday, we started having trouble with our small car on Wednesday or Thursday. We started having trouble with our small car Thursday, I think. And then on Friday, I was driving the van, and I had taken Liba to the orthodontist, and we were coming back, and I realized that the brake didn't feel like it was working properly. Like it was a little bit, it just didn't seem right. So I called the mechanic from the car, and I described what was happening. So the mechanic said, you know, that doesn't sound very good. I think you need to bring it in. I said, okay. I said, is it unsafe to drive the car right now? He said, well, you know, it doesn't sound very good. Tell me, is there a light on the dashboard? I said, well, yeah, there is a light on the dashboard. I didn't realize that light meant that there's a problem here with the brakes. He said, no, actually that light means there's a problem with the brakes. I said, oh, it's been here for a few months. He said, oh, it's very dangerous to be driving your car right now. So I took the car directly to him. This was a Friday afternoon. It was after 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We had been planning on making an early Shabbos. We had a guest coming, and we had no other car, and that was working. And I went straight with Liba to the mechanic, and dropped off the car. So he Ubered me a car to get home from there. So now I came home. So it's late on Friday afternoon already. We have no working car. So no working car. The van is not going to be ready till tomorrow, till Monday. Because, you know, it was late in the day for him too. So he wasn't going to work on it then. So it's not going to be ready till Monday. So that meant that we're going into Shabbos. First of all, we're late. But also means no cars. Well, we had someplace we had to be last night. We had to be someplace today. I had several errands I had to do today with a car. My wife had several errands she had to do with a car. Right? But you know what? So we don't. Right? So you figure it out. You got to work it out. Now, Baruch Hashem, we were able to get the smaller car working last night. Somebody came over and helped us out. The smaller car is working now. But I'm just saying, we had to rearrange everything in our minds what's going to be over the weekend. Right? Okay. So that's what has to happen. People do have the ability to change their impossible schedules that really have no room in them. They have room in them. It's just that we're not willing to think about it that way. So the hisbonerus that he's speaking about is a person should build into their day a few minutes to stop and think about what we're doing. We're doing good, we're doing bad, what are we doing? Now, how to do that hisbonerus he's going to talk about in the future program. But that there should be hisbonerus, that's the point he's making over here. Now, here we have a stira in the Mesillas Yesharim, which I once asked somebody about. I'll tell you in a moment. So first, the Mesillas Yesharim writes that the Atzas HaYetzer is to keep us so busy that we have no time to think. So he writes like this. He says, Ki yodea hu, because the Yetzer HaRa knows, she'ilulei hayu samim libam kimat kot al darcheihem, that if we would just put our minds a little bit on our ways, then for sure, immediately we would have charata over anything we've done wrong. That charata would get stronger and stronger. Until we would leave the chet completely. So first, the Mesillas Yesharim says that if we would put any kind of attention to our actions, then it is inevitable that we would have charata for anything we're doing wrong, and eventually we would stop doing the wrong thing. So what he's saying is that it seems like he's saying that if a person has something they're doing wrong, all they need to do is think about it. If they stop and think, then it won't be an immediate fix, but they'll have charata, and that charata will over time stop the aver. That's it. That's the formula to stop averos. Let's say I have trouble speaking Lashon, I speak Lashon Hara. So as long as I stop 5 minutes a day and think about it, then I'll have Charata, and over time I will stop speaking Lashon Hara. That's what he writes. Then later in the same parak here, the Mesillas Yesharim writes, Upashad hu, it's obvious, Shafili mifakeach adam al atzma. Even if a person thinks about what he's doing, ein bechocho linatzel iluli HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozo. He doesn't have the power to be saved from the avera if Hashem doesn't help him. Ki hayetzahara takif ma'od, because the yetzahara is very strong. Skipping ahead a little bit, he brings the pasuk, sofer rasha latzadik u'mevakish lahamiso. That the Rasha, meaning the Yetzirah, is trying to kill the Tzaddik. So, a person cannot defeat the Yetzirah without Hashem's help. However, he says, if a person does work on themselves, if they think about what they're doing, then Hashem will help them out, and he'll be saved from the Yetzirah. But if he doesn't, a person doesn't think about it themselves, then Hashem is not going to help them either. A person has to put in their own ishtadlus, put in their own effort, then Hashem will help them. So it seems to be a stira. It seems to be a contradiction, because first the Mesillas Yesharim writes that if a person thinks, they're going to stop the averos. Then he says, if a person tries to stop averos, it can't be. Only Hashem can help him. So which one is it? Is it that it's natural that if I think about what I'm doing, then the averos will stop? Or is it that I need Hashem's help? Now you could say that the two things are not stiras. You could say that if we stop and think, then Hashem will help us and the Avera will stop. But I once asked Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, Zechar Racha, I once asked him this stira, this contradiction, and he told me that he once asked the question to Rav Elia Lapian, Zechar Racha. So he said Rav Elia Lapian told him that there's two types of Yetzer Haras. He said the Gra writes, the Vilna Gaon writes, there's two types of Yetzirah. There is the Yetzirah Tiv'i, that's the natural Yetzirah that we all have, and then there's the Yetzirah She'ena Tiv'i, there's the Yetzirah that's not natural. So this will come up more in later Prakim. We'll talk about this a little bit more. But he said that that the Yetzirah, just want to see over here, just make sure that. So the Yetzer Hara that is natural is the Yetzer Hara that we deal with all the time. Those are the regular Yetzer Haras that we have all the time. And, a person, like I said, speaks Lashon Hara, or whatever it is, we all have Yetzer Haras. It's normal, natural to have a Yetzer Hara. But then there's the Yetzer Hara She'ena Tivi, which is not natural. So, for example, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that there was the I think it was an Amora, Rav Amram. So they were Podesh Shvuyim. There were some young women who were taken captive, and they ransomed them. They did Pidyon Shvuyim. They ransomed the women from the Goyim who had taken them. So the problem was that they ransomed them, but they couldn't return the young women to their families yet, because it was they needed to travel to where the families lived, wherever families they came from, and they weren't in that town. So the young women had to sleep over in the town before taking them back to their families. So the question was where to put them. There wasn't a lot of room, space in the town to put them. So they put them in Rav Amram's house, and they put them on the second floor. In those days, a second floor was, they didn't have staircases the way we have. They had ladders to get up to the second floor. So the Gemara says that the ladder to get up to the second floor was an extremely heavy ladder, and it took 10 men to lift the ladder. So what they did is they put the young women up there, and then they took down the ladder. So that way, a human being, a regular human being, can't lift the ladder. And that would avoid the problem of Yichud. So the girls were upstairs, And Rav Amram, who apparently was by himself, I assume he wasn't, his wife must have passed away, whatever it is, but he was downstairs, and there was no problem. And it wouldn't be a problem of Yichud. So the Gemara says that at one point, one of the women passed by the opening of the Aruba, of the skylight, or, you know, of the loft, right? Thank you. And it says that her face, she was very beautiful, and she glowed. And that shine came down, and Rav Amram saw the shine. So he was overwhelmed by a Yetzer Hara, and it says that he picked up the ladder that should have taken 10 men to lift. He lifted it all by himself, and he put it up against the loft, and he started to go up the ladder. So the Gemara says that he got halfway up the ladder, and then he braced himself against the ladder. He pushed his arms and his legs against the ladder to stop himself. And then he cried out, Nura Be Amram, Nura Be Amram. There's a fire at Amram's house. There's a fire in Amram's house. So all of the Talmidim came running. And they came running in, and they found their Rebbe halfway up the ladder going up to these women. So they said, Rebbe, we're embarrassed to see you this way. We're mavoyish. We see that you're going to do an Aveira. So he said to them, Fakert, I'd be embarrassed if you didn't see me this way. Because better that I should be embarrassed in Olam Hazeh and not in Olam Habad. I would not have done the Aveira. So the Gemara says that when he said that, he was Mashbiya, his Yetzer, or whatever that means, and a fire came out of him. They saw a pillar of fire come out of his body and leave his body. So evidently, the Gra explains that was the Yetzirah She'ena Tivi. Rav Amram had already was not susceptible to the normal Yetzirahs that we all go through. He was well beyond that. Therefore, he would not have normally had the taiva to go to these women. But he's still the Yetzirah She'ena Tivi, the abnormal Yetzirah, the we'll call it the super Yetzirah. And that was what overwhelmed him at that time, and he defeated it by crying out. Now, what that means is, you see, he couldn't have stopped it on his own. He was able to stop it by calling in his Talmidim, and then once he was in front of his Talmidim, he was obviously not going to do an Aveira, because they were there in front of witnesses. One's not going to do an Aveira like that. So he had the presence of mind to call in the Talmidim to stop himself from that Aveira. But that's the Yetzer Hara She'ena Tivi. That's not the normal Yetzer Hara. So that Yetzer Hara is not one that we can defeat on our own. That one requires Hashem's help. It is impossible for a person to defeat that Yetzer Hara on one's own. The Gemara Maseches Brachos says that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Libi chalol bekirbi, my heart is dead inside of me. So again, the Gemara explains he defeated his Yetzer Hara. He no longer had Yetzer Hara. But David did have a Yetzer Hara. He didn't have the normal Yetzer Hara. David had already defeated his normal Yetzer Hara. David was not governed or susceptible to the regular Yetzer Haras that we have. He was above that. He had defeated that Yetzer Hara. And therefore, the only Yetzer Hara he had left was the Yetzer Hara She'ena Tivi. So the normal Yetzer Hara person has, that is defeated by doing his bonus. Simply by reflecting about what we're doing, by thinking honestly about what we're doing, that will defeat the regular Yetzirahs that we have over time. It's not a sudden fix, but it is a proven formula that will ultimately defeat the Yetzirah. Again, how to do that Yetzirah he'll describe in the future Parakim. But the Yetzirah itself will defeat the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah She'ena Tivi, that already is a higher level, that requires a Kodesh Baruch Hu's help, and that's not something that will be solved simply through his bonus. That requires more effort to get rid of. But halavai, we should get there. That's a very lofty goal, to not have to deal with the regular Yetzirah that we deal with all the time. To be on the Madrega of David HaMelech, not to have to deal with the regular Yetzirah, is a huge, huge Madrega. To be on the Madrega of Rav Amram, not to have to deal with the regular Yetzirah, is a huge, huge Madrega. So it is his boninus that brings to getting rid of the basic Yetzirah. That's his point in the first parak of Zehirus in Parak Beis of Mesos Hasharim. Any questions?
So Hashem doesn't help you with the Yetzirah at all?
Well, he does. Of course he does. Right? Yeah, of course he does.
But,
you daven, he can help you. Hashem will help with anything. Mm-hmm. But the point is that what he's trying to say is that it's biyadeinu to get rid of it. It's not rocket science and it's not mystical. It's not just, all you got to do is this bonus. It's a very simple formula. Now, it's obviously not so simple because we don't all do it, right? But he's trying to say that it's not something a person has to go and figure out, you know, these deep intellectual discussions to figure out how to get rid of the Yetzirah. Just do his bonus. That is the built-in formula. Now, we have to learn how to do his bonus. Mm-hmm. But he said that will ultimately defeat the regular Yetzirahs that we deal with. And the reason is because it creates charata. It's going to come through feeling bad about the avera. That's what's going to make it stop. We do avera, so we feel bad about it, and we don't like that feeling. But that's the feeling that ultimately is going to stop the avera.
But for the Yetzer HaShein HaTivi, like everything Hashem gives you, you're able to conquer. Whatever. So like that also.
It's true. But what he's trying, I mean, what does it mean you need Hashem's help? You know what I mean? You need Hashem's help. Hashem's help to lift your hand, you need Hashem's help, right? He just means to say that there, it's not a simple formula. It's not just do a spun or a single defeat the Yetzer HaShein HaTivi. Rav Amram needed to be smart about it. He needed to do something that you wouldn't have expected. That you would have, he needed to do something which really embarrassed him in order to defeat the Yetzer HaShein HaTivi.
So someone at like Rav Amram's point would be like if his Yetzer HaShein HaTivi wouldn't be so often.
I imagine that's the case. I imagine it's not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't plague him the same way it plagues everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's what I imagine. But I mean, all the averus that you find in Tanakh of the great ones, of the big people, those are all Yetzer HaShein HaTivi. They're not. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu when he hit the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock. That's Yetzer HaShein HaTivi. That's not, he wasn't being driven by regular taivos or kavod or kina. He wasn't being driven by that. It was a different cheshbon altogether. David and Bathsheba wasn't regular taiva. That's not what was driving it.
Would you say that nowadays all of our averos are Yetzer HaTivi?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're all within the Yetzer HaTivi, for sure. That's what I mean. Halavai, we should get past that.
Yeah.
That's a huge madrega. Yeah. Huge madrega. But yeah, we're all dealing with the Yetzer HaTivi. Yeah. For sure. For sure. For sure. And nobody likes to think. His bonus is a lost art. Just stop, think, and think seriously. Think for real, and not the daydream, but to really think. It's a, you know. So that's what he's going to speak about. But that's something which people don't like to do, or people don't do well.
Thank you.
Thank you.